take you the time to welcome you to here at, to Encounter Life Church. God is good. Amen. I just want to thank all of you for your prayers for my mother-in-law, Sister Grace Turner. Many of you have come by to see her and been praying for her. We thought she was going to come home yesterday. I know last week I said that they might keep her for like 10 more days, but they think and she can get ready to come home. They just want to get some her levels back down. But if you talk to her on the phone, she sounds strong, and she's doing a lot better in great spirits. Amen. But how many know that the devil, he does not stop? Amen. So some of y'all know that while my mother-in-law's in the hospital in ICU this week, my wife had to be admitted to ICU this week also. So currently my wife and my mother-in-law are both in the hospital. So y'all can pray for us. Amen. Amen. Tracy was, I think, running around because of her mom and got her system all out of whack. And on went Thursday, she vomited all day. I took her to the hospital and they said, you know, we got to put you in ICU because she had gone into what's called diabetic ketoacidosis. So pray for her. They took her out of ICU this morning. I was there this morning. She's out of ICU this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless God. But she's on a regular floor, but pray. She's having a lot of pain. She didn't sleep much last night, so she's having this pain. So they're going to be doing some CAT scans and some other stuff. So thank you all those of you who come by to pray and be with her. Amen. But God is good, and he's sovereign and in control. How many know God is in control? So that song, that you're perfect in all of your ways, that was for me. Hallelujah. You're perfect in all of your ways. Because sometimes God allows things in your life and you don't understand why it's happening. That's right. But you got to stand on the fact that he's perfect in all of his ways to us. And he's a good father. And everything that works out in my life may not be good, but it's for my good. How many believe that? So if you're in the midst of the crucible, in the midst of the fire right now, just know, like my brother Dave sent me a song this morning called The Refiner, that the fire is to refine us. It's hot. It feels uncomfortable, but it's working out something beautiful. And how many know that whatever that hot fire is in your life right now, that God is working out something beautiful? Amen? And I praise God for friends. I praise God for family, the support, that we have not lacked anything. For those of you who called and, you know, asked how they can help, I thank you, Sister Keisha, and all of you. But praise, Sister Keisha said, what do y'all need to eat? She went and bought us enough food for a couple of days. And we ate, the children ate, they had enough for lunch and two dinners. And we praise God for that. And for those of you who have gone by, for my parents, my sister, those who helped to pick up the kids, and all of you who've offered to pick up kids and be available, that's the body at work. Amen. So we have not lacked anything, and I praise God for that. And I praise God for men of God, capable men of God here and other places that can fill in for you in a pinch. Amen. So I would know, I was getting ready to try to preach this morning, and some brothers and said, you know what, bro, I know you probably can, but maybe you should get somebody else to do that for you. And I just praise God for this brother who's going to come bring the word this morning, because he's not like a guest here. This is his home church. Amen. This is where he got birthed him. We've been friends since we were 6 and 7 years old, and God has launched him and given him a wonderful platform. He is campus pastor at Zion Church under the leadership of lead pastor, Pastor Keith Battle. And we praise God for Pastor Larry Page, who's going to come bring the word this morning. Amen. Amen. And I called the brother. He said, look, you need me. I got you. Pray with me. And he said he got me. And I'm going to show you how God, he's perfect in all of his ways. I'm going to be quiet. Can I show you this? Y'all know we're in a series. What's the name of our series called? 2020. And last week we talked about having the right focus on our jobs. And the first week we said for 2020, we want to have the right focus on focusing on God in the new year. Remember that? Well, if y'all didn't know, next week we were going to be preaching on the importance of peace and solitude and rest as you go into this new year. That was going to be next week's message in the series. And so when you have someone fill in, I didn't tell him we were in a series. He just sent me the title of his message. And the message is titled, Peace of Mind. He's perfect in all of his ways. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what we had planned. He didn't know a series. But he sent me the message title and the points, and I said, look at God. God knows how to fill in where you need him. Amen? So can we give a wonderful round of applause to Pastor Larry Page? We're glad that he's here with his wife, Sherry. Amen? As he comes to bring the word this morning. Bless the Lord. Amen.
Worship has a way of breaking. You know, my heart's full this morning. I'm grateful to be able to serve you. I just want to take a second, man. God is amazing. God is worthy. You know, worship will have you on your feet. Worship will have you on your knees. When you got the right perspective of a God who has all power, and you begin to reflect on how good he is, your praise is an instrument. The Bible says, if we don't praise him, that the rocks will cry out. And God is looking for true worshipers, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And if I can be honest, sometimes my worship can get stale. Church becomes a formality. It's like being in a relationship with a lover and you just kind of say nice things, but your heart's really not in it. And I just want to just set the tone because I'm asking God to help us break us out of a cold, stale, waxed over love and bring us into a fresh remembrance that he died and gave us his spirit, and out of that spirit we have life. And God says, we have life and we have it more abundantly. And so I want to thank God in advance for the work he's doing in this church, because although you may not see all of the fruit, if you weren't up to something big, the enemy wouldn't be messing with you. And so I think it's, let me say something. If you wait for God to deliver to start praising, you're a day late, a dollar short, and you're not very authentic. But if you know that God is who he says he is, and you feeling any kind of pressure this morning, I'm saying to you, the right response to the move of God is, God, I'm going to celebrate like I've already received what it is that I'm hoping for. God, what, you don't see the results yet. Why are you so happy? Because my God has all power, dominion, and authority. I'm not waiting to see the results to give him praise. God, you are worthy. God, I adore you. God, I lay out before you. Why have you lost your mind? I lost my mind because God restored what I lost. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. I'd be doggone if a football team, a basketball team, get more of my heart than the God who gave his son for my soul. I'd be doggone if Power or a TV series get me more psyched up than standing before the presence of an almighty God. I'd be doggone if I give my praise to anything that's not worthy except be for our God. Thank you, Lord. Bless this food we're about to receive. May it be nourishment to our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not be weary in well-doing, Pastor McKinney, for in due time you will reap a harvest if you faint not, brother. I'll be reading from John chapter 6. I'll pick up at verse 14 and I'll read through verse 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been what? Expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills. Other translation says the mountain by himself. Verse 16. That evening, Jesus' disciples went to the shore to wait for him. Yeah. When the people saw him do the miraculous sign, he had just fed the 5,000. They exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been what? Expecting. Between feeding the 5,000 and walking on water, the Bible says that Jesus slipped away into the hills by himself. And I started to think about a topic this morning. First of all, why did he even slip away? And I saw a perfect picture of a peace of mind. What does it look like to have a peace of mind? Why is there war? Because the text says that they saw his sign and said, he is the prophet we have been expecting. Verse 15 again says, when Jesus saw that they were ready to do what? Force him. I want to say to you that the force of expectation can be so huge on your life that it disrupts your peace. Okay. Between doing the miraculous sign of feeding 5,000 and doing the miraculous sign of walking on water, Jesus slips away to the mountain by himself. Why? Because the force of expectation can be so big on you. Wait a minute, you're not married by now? Oh, you still at the same job? Oh, your kids still cutting up? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't have any children by now? Do you understand that the force of expectation that we carry can be so great that it will cause us to make a short-term decision that can ruin our future and everyone attached to us? However, if we ever learn how to get a peace of mind, say peace of mind. If we ever learn how to get a peace of mind, the stuff that drowns most people, God will give us power to walk over. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I'm trying to help you understand what Jesus was facing and how Jesus dealt with the pressure or the force of expectation. My daughter sent me a text this week. She's a student, a freshman at The Ohio State University, and she says, Dad, someone in my dorm found a construction site nearby and they jumped off the roof. See, this ain't a game. You understand what I'm saying? And it grieved me. So now she has to talk to counselors. And I said, what made them jump? And I thought about it, that internally, whether you see it or not, some of us are on the edge. We've been pretending so long that because we got a few scriptures and everything is okay. And when in reality, we're about as fragile as a bush. And if you don't get honest about where you are, Satan will use the force of expectation to push you into a decision that can ruin your family. I said, I wish I could have caught the man before he jumped and told him, you don't have to die, you just need to die to yourself. You don't have to kill yourself, Jesus already died for you. I wish I could have pulled him back from the edge and reminded him that there was hope beyond the pressure, that God can give you a peace of mind. But sometimes when the pressure is so great, you'd rather jump. Even if you only have peace for a few moments before you hit the bottom, do you understand that Satan wages war against the mind? So I want to give you three moves that we learned from Jesus about how to get a peace of mind. And the first move is that we must know our season. Says, know my season. know my season. The second move is to know how to slip away. Yeah, this is not complicated. And the third move is that we must know how to find solitude. Yeah, yeah. We got to know how to enjoy it. We got to know how God is positioning us in this season. We got to know how to. Matter of fact, let's say that together. The first move is what? The second move is what? Yeah. The third move is know what? Yeah. I like what the text says. It says in verse 15 that Jesus saw. That's huge. He saw that they were ready to force him. Listen. He didn't wait. He saw it. Some of the stuff that we're walking into, you can see it happening a mile away. You got to have discernment to know your season. Because Jesus had did some pretty major miracles. And because the people were looking for a king who would deliver them from the oppression of Roman rule, they said, that is our man. But I'm grateful that we have a savior that understood that even if the people's expectation were that he would be their king to deliver them, he was aware that that was not his assignment. Okay, let me help you out. If Jesus had a bought into the people's feedback, you and I would have had to pay for our own sins. It wasn't a season to be what he already was anyway. He did not come to establish himself as king. He already was king. He came so that he might die for our sins so that we can experience what it's like to live with royalty. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Some of y'all are sweating because you're wearing turtlenecks in the summertime. Some of y'all are freezing to death because you're wearing shorts in the winter. What I'm saying is you got to have enough discernment to understand that even if I'm gifted and I'm talented, sometimes God will hide me behind the shadow of the lights so that he can preserve me for a purpose. You got to discern, God, what is the season that you're calling me to? Because the world will tell you, jump. You done gotten your feelings and you done quit your job and don't have a plan B talking about, God, give me a backup plan. The backup plan was you should have slowed down and discerned. I never told you to quit. Got to know your season. Here's the question. If Jesus doesn't deliver you, is he still your king? See, they wanted a king who would deliver. Jesus says, I'm going to be a king that dies. And sometimes God puts you in a season to see if you'll still worship him as king, even if he doesn't deliver what you expect. Is he still sovereign and Lord and God, and your bank account still says broke? Because we tend to only want to make him king when he gives us the stuff we like. But when he says this is the season where you're going to suffer a little bit, we tend to say he isn't our king. I'm really king, and I demote you and promote me. And Satan says the force of expectation will disrupt peace enough where you'll kick God off the throne and create a God that fits your own imagination. That first move. Just know what season you're in. It's not time to shine. It's time to grind. When the season is clear, you don't get all in a hissy because things are not going smooth. Because Dr. McKinney, Pastor McKinney, you know that this is the season where you're digging up foundations. You uprooting some stuff. You're changing some stuff. So I don't wear a tuxedo when I'm doing gardening. I bring a hoe and some sweat. Do you understand the difference when you know the season? Although it's painful, you can rejoice because, God, I know what you called me to in this season. Jesus was, he knew people. And so not only did he know the season, see, that gives the mind. People don't even give you peace to know I'm in the right season. It hurts, this is the right season. Jesus had enough wherewithal to also know how to slip away. Say slip away. What I like about Jesus is that he had the ability to feed 5,000. Do you know what I would do with that kind of power? Shh. I mean, just really. I mean, if you had that kind of power, you'd make the blind see. You're getting ready to walk on. You are a bad man. But here is Jesus who places limitations on himself when the people were getting ready to force him into something that God had not ordained. He did not say, you ain't gonna make me nothing I don't want to be. See, I want you to understand warfare. Some of y'all sitting there trying to flex your spiritual muscle. And God said, I ain't tell you to say a word. You better learn how to slip away. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Like, this ain't time to have a conversation. This is a time to move. Here is God with all power, and even he knows how to duck stones. I'm just trying to get y'all. Sometimes y'all get God twisted. Yeah, God, I done pray. I got faith. Jesus, I got faith too, and I also know how to duck. Put them together. Faith duck. You understand what I'm saying? He knew how to slip away. Why? Why? Because the enemy understands your deficiencies, and he will make things so attractive that it's hard. Let me tell you, the war comes when you know who you are created to be, and God asks you to operate in something that seems like it contradicts it. Do you understand that the war, the peace issue is that I am in conflict with myself. And when I'm in that situation, ain't time for me to try to be cute and spiritual. Hey, here's spiritual, I'm going to slip away. The reason why we have war or a lack of peace is because part of us can't slip away from what everybody's been saying about us. Who we are is attached to what we do. And it's going to cost you to slip away. In order to really get away, you're going to have to give up what people think of you. Okay. Y'all not hearing me. I want to just bring to your remembrance why Jesus is so powerful in Philippians 2, 7, and 8, it says, although Jesus was equal with God, he did not consider equality something to cling to. What I'm saying to you is that if you're going to slip away, even if you have a certain status, sometimes you got to let stuff go. It's hard to slip away when you're attached to a perception of who you think you are. So you stand right there and you let people size you. Yeah, they tell them what they you open your mouth and tell them what you think. Once again, now you're living at my house and I'm gonna put you out because you can't stand. Nobody tell you to open your mouth and say that. What I'm saying to you is that you have to learn how to do what? Slip away. Jesus didn't cling to what everybody else was saying. He was able to hear how God saw him, and he was able to be free from the power of public opinion. Some of the peace that we pursue is really about a conflict within our own lives. When I was in the, let me help y'all practice, because I don't know if y'all are getting this. You're going to get some offers this year that speaks to your deficiencies. It'll make you feel good to have this offer. I am telling you, part of slipping away is learning to do what Jesus did. No, thank you. Okay, I'm turning. You're gonna have some offers. It can be a relationship offer. It can be a job offer. And the offer always speaks to your deficiencies. And if you're not discerning, you'll say, God has blessed me. When in reality, the enemy has packaged a blessing that's really a curse in disguise. You got to be able to see, God, is this you or is this me? And I want y'all to practice these three words. No, thank you. On three. One, two, three. No, thank you. peace of mind. It may hurt a little bit, but what you just saved yourself from is working overtime and not being able to be in worship because you're trying to pay for what God never gave you. I can't serve. I won't be available. Why? Because I got to work four jobs. Well, whose idea was that? Would God give you a job that keeps you from him? I'm just trying to say to you, you got to see that the way the enemy packages deals is he packages the deal to match your deficiency. He understood how difficult it was to step into time and give up glory and put on humanity. And it's always in the back of a king's mind to be royal. You don't think Jesus struggled with some of the same struggles we have? But our king said, no. Thank you. Some of y'all, that was too many words. When I was in the military, I had a blessed knee injury. It was the Persian Gulf. They was getting ready to deploy me to the Middle East to go to war. And I looked at the dysfunction in the National Guard, and I says, Lord, get me out of here. I just wanted the college benefits. I'm allergic to bullets. I don't need, they got enough people going, God, if you don't send me, I work for you. How about that? You making deals. And so wouldn't you have it, my knee acted up, and they sent me back home, and I said I had enough. Now, I'm not telling y'all to be dishonorable. I'm just saying know your season. I was in the wrong season, playing for the wrong team. And so I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'm telling you now, you got me. And so I decided, I went to our weekend drill, and I was weighed down because I said, Lord, I got to get out completely. So I saw a non-commissioned officer walking by. He had some clout. And I said to him, I said, listen, you got like a few seconds? I said, I have a knee injury. I really don't want to be in this. I'm just being honest. I don't know why I signed. I just wanted the college. I was just being honest. He said, you really don't want to be here? I said, I really don't. He said, I'm going to tell you what you do. He says, write a letter, document your situation, and he said, leave. And I was stuck because I said, that's it? That's it. He says, and they'll give you an honorable discharge. I said, get out of here. He said, yeah, that's all you do. I lied to you not. This is a true story. I went back to formation. Our commanding officer was in front giving orders. I looked to my left. I looked to my right. And I thought about that word, leave. I promise you, I walked right out of formation. Took off my uniform. My walk was different too. And I walked right out of the D.C. Armory, and I never looked back, and wouldn't you know that weeks later I got an honorable discharge. I'm not advising anybody to do that. What I am saying is some of y'all are talking when you should be walking. The force of expectation and the war that's going on in you is because you are staying in a place that God has told you to leave from, and you're trying to make the situation better when in reality you ain't going to get no peace until you start walking by faith. You sitting there complaining and grumbling. God don't want you to complain. God said, now for you, the season is time for you to leave. Be at peace. Stay. Be at war. Because you are in conflict with obedience. Know your season. Know how to what? Know how to find solitude. Jesus slipped away by himself. Where? Yeah, to the hills, mountain, high place. Hills, mountain, high place. Listen, you got to find solitude at the right altitude, see? It ain't just getting away. You got to get away at a certain level, okay? Whenever Jesus got away, he was always high, okay? I'm trying to help somebody who's been trying to find peace of mind by getting high. I'm trying to tell you a real high. Oh, that don't happen in this church. Y'all got some friends to get high. Okay, maybe not. Then you need to get some friends. We need to bring them to church. Anyway, that's another story. My point is, whenever Jesus found solitude, he was always really high. didn't have to buy a drink, didn't have to smoke anything. What he did was he elevated his thinking. I can't tell you exactly what the conversation was because the text doesn't say. But Mark 9 and Luke 9 gives me just some possible insights. Y'all may not remember the story, but Jesus took a road trip with some of his friends, Peter, James, John, but they was over in a distance, and he was on a mountain, and it was Moses, Elijah, and the voice of God. And they were having a discussion. We're talking about getting peace of mind. Sometimes you got to get away so you can hear above the noise. And the conversation that Jesus had in solitude, what do I talk about? Do I just sit silently? Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And in the middle of their conversation, God speaks to Jesus. He says, "This is my son." Do you know what they were talking about? It was God's word. It was where Jesus was going. And it was the future glory. I want to make this plain where peace comes from. When you get away with God, you want to get to a place where you can see your future glory. Okay? You want to get a picture that's so clear. Glory is a perfect picture of your final finish. The reason why we're at war is because of if where we're going is not greater than what we're going through, the little drama that we deal with will destroy us. You got to get away and get a picture of where God is taking you. You got to be so high in your thinking that the Bible says in Colossians 3 that if you have been raised with Christ, it tells us to seek those things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm telling you that some of the war that we deal with because our thinking is too low. Philippians 4 tells us, it tells us, listen, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving and supplication. I'm trying to help y'all get peace when you get solitude. This is how it works. The way that you get peace about where you're going is to thank God for what he has done. Okay, y'all missed that. Y'all missed it. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. See, most of our war comes because we're worried about how things are going to work out. Don't worry about anything, but give God thanks for everything. How do I get peace? Well, what I do is I go back and I thank God for what he's done and what he's doing. And based on his resume, I can start getting excited about where I'm headed. I'm trying to help somebody. God, I'm worried about how this is going to work out. Well, remember I got you the job last time? Remember when you didn't know how you were going to eat and I provided food? Remember the time that you were sick and I provided healing? Remember, I dare somebody while you get alone with God to write down a list of everything he's done. What it does is it shifts the expectation that, God, I'm not worried or expecting things to go wrong. My God, your history and your resume says you're fully qualified to deliver what it is that I'm afraid of. And when you're alone with God, God says, elevate your thinking, seek those things that are above, not things of earth. Solitude. You got to get away. How do I get away? I got to work overtime. Sometimes you got to learn how to escape in your mind. I think y'all got it. Hey, what's the first move that we got to make? Your season. Don't stay when you should leave. Don't leave when you should stay. Know your season. What's the second move? Before you say it, you better find a bathroom stall and go cry before you open your mouth and say something that you regret. Which means you gotta let go of what you think of you and what they think of you, so you can hear what God thinks of you. Because most of the conflict comes is you holding on to an idea that God didn't give you. So you got to quickly get away from that idea so you can hear clearly, so you don't make a decision that destroys your future. Did you hear what I said? What's that third move? Enjoy. So, really, do I sit and just chant? No. You think about what God has said about you. Okay, y'all don't get it. Can you help me out? Can you take one of these balloons? I'm just trying to help y'all deal and get a little peace of mind. It's a lot of expectation. I know you don't mind. You're my brother. Can you take one? I need you. Brother Milk, thank you so much. Thank you. I need y'all on three to blow up and then tie up. As they blow up, these balloons, they represent our lives. Jesus felt the force of expectation. Blow them up. Yeah, on three, two, three, go. All right, good. All right. No, don't let it out. Tie it up. There you go. All right, D, good, nice. All right. See, I wanted to give three people so y'all didn't think I was cheating or, you know. What I'm saying is they have put their expectations into these balloons. Yeah. It's a lot of force. All right. I'm talking about solitude. Jesus got away to a hill by himself. What do I do in solitude? Now, I want y'all to try and slip away. Let your balloon go. I got my balloon. I'm going to let mine go. On three, we're going to try to deal with peace, you know. We're going to try to get through this to our ability. All right. On three, one, two, three. Let's go. All right. All right. I only wanted you to see that you can't get peace through your expectations. The world's expectation at best weighs you down. When you're in solitude, you don't find peace in a place. You find peace in a person. The reason Jesus got high is because it triggered the mind to remind him that he was above all this stuff on earth. Okay, y'all ain't hearing me. The reason theirs fell and mine rose is because although we both have air, it's a different kind of spirit in. Okay, y'all ain't hearing me. I'm gonna talk to y'all because they ain't hearing me over here. I guess you thought because you received Jesus as your Lord, it was done. The Bible says don't be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be you filled with the Spirit. The purpose of solitude is to reconnect with the God who says, "This is my child." When God puts his Spirit in you, the stuff that makes everybody else depressed and low and down, that same thing, God says, when you get with me, I'm gonna remind you of whose Spirit is inside of you. So when you step back down on earth, the stuff that everybody is drowning over, you're gonna walk over. You'll have power because you'll remember that it's me inside of you. And I think a lot of believers are guilty of trying to pursue peace through psychological manipulation, positive psychology, self-help, Pastor McKinney. I'm just going to try to will myself to feel better. I promise you that if you use you to try to raise you, you will die. But if by his Spirit your soul is renewed to remember, this is my son. This is my daughter. My Spirit is in you. And the ingredients of my Spirit is love, joy, peace. Yeah. If you got my Spirit, I don't care what your circumstances are. As Jesus sat on the Golden Heights, I'm sure he was able to see the Sea of Galilee and says, God, I had a moment where the pressure almost got me, but my spirit is renewed. I'm so high when I get down, my feet won't touch water. I dare somebody right now to take about 20 minutes, 3 days to just say, God, I'm not talking about having devotions with you. I'm talking about sitting with you and being reminded of my relationship with you. God, if you would give me peace of mind, I will walk in power even while I work in the mailroom. Father, thank you. I pray for every soul that's at war with themselves, that they would remember your motto. Lord, we're at war in our minds. Father, I pray right now that someone who's on the edge of leaving or staying, that they can take 20 minutes for the next 3 days and sit with you and think about where they are going. Lord, by your grace, give them such an immaculate picture of future glory that when they come out of conversation with you, it'll feel like they're walking on water. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen.